right. I am lowering the music, which I'm already giggling to myself because you're going to hear a lot more of it very soon. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show. I am so excited. I know I always say that. Today's show is completely unique, like our last show of the year, which if you want to go to our website and listen to our musical love letter, that was our last show of the year and our first show of the year. So excited to have the Robert Bradford Quartet here, the amazing local band behind our theme music. So we're going to spend time listening to their music. It's our first time on the show and first time in the station for a long time having live musicians play here. And we also get to interview Robert Bradford and the band members. So excited for the program and all we're going to be able to listen to and learn about with some real live musicians here. And we are all aging well together, my lovely seasoned musicians. I'm staring at them all to see if they give me mean looks. All right. But before we start our show, always want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. Thank you so much. And our show is also available to stream anytime on WCOMFM.org, or we're on a number of streaming services. And I'll give a shout out to in a moment to the Orange County website. Well, let's talk about them now. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the wonderfully helpful and fabulous team at the Orange County Department on Aging. They started the Aging Well Together show. We started back in May. So honored they brought me in as host. And together, we have fun interviewing special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories. And today, music about the opportunities for aging well together. If you want more information on any of the issues we discuss, or if you want to suggest a topic, and our 2024 schedule has openings, so if you want to hear about a special topic or profile a wonderful individual in our community, let us know. You can call the Orange County Department on Aging. They can be reached at 919-968-2070, or you can email me directly at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com, and that way we can hear your feedback and suggestions. The website for Orange County is also an amazing place to get all kinds of information and resources, and it's where you can hear all of the now podcasts. All of these live recordings are turned into podcasts, and they are all hosted now on the Orange County Department on Aging's website. And that is orangecountync.gov/aging. And when you're on the aging site, just look for the button that says Aging Well Together show, radio show, and you'll be able to hear our last 28 shows. I'm so excited. What's hysterical is this is normally the part of the program where I give a shout out to the Robert Bradford Quartet for allowing us to use their original theme music, Mayfly. But instead, we have the band here. I'm going to turn it over to Robert in just a second and ask him some questions. But as always, I should do a quick introduction of myself. I'm Heather Altman. I am your very appreciative host, honored to be with you all now for this is our 29th show. I've spent over 25 years working in aging services, and I continue to work with older adults and their families, connect with supportive resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and as you always hear me say, at 53, I'm invested in my own aging and changing needs. So together, we are all aging well together. All right, I am so excited to turn it over to our awesome band. I'm going to have him say hi. Hi, Robert Bradford of Robert Bradford Quartet.
Hey, Heather. Great to see you. Great to be here. Exciting to actually be in the studio. We fit in the studio, which I'm very surprised that we did fit. We're going to talk. We're going to play some live music. We're going to sort of harken back to the 1940s when bands actually did play live music on the radio, but we're doing it in sort of the 21st century version of that. So we're excited.
I love that. And I'm telling you, listeners, I've taken some pictures. So when you go to the orangecountync.gov/aging website, you'll see pictures of the band when this gets uploaded. This is so exciting. And Robert, you and I have been friends for a long time, and I'm so glad that I was able to lean on this friendship to get your music and to have you now come in. So first of all, tell us who is joining us in our, it's actually not that cozy. We're fitting kind of nice. You could become a What comes after quintets? I don't even want to say it. You can have more members. We're fitting in nicely in here.
We can rebrand really easily. So we call ourselves RBQ because Robert Bradford Quartet is a little clunky, right? But we could be the Robert Bradford Quartet. We could be the Robert Bradford Quintet with no extra branding. Super easy for us to do. So next time we come here, we'll be the Robert Bradford Quintet and be even more exciting for you.
I love it. I want to make some sort of wisecracker comment about like a hexagon or things, but my math is so problematic that I can't even cut like an octagon. We've got enough people that you could be the Robert, but yeah, that doesn't quite work. All right, Robert, tell us who is joining us. You said you would, I have their names, but you said you would introduce the other band members. Who's here with us in our lovely studio at WCOM?
So this is the quartet. We have Jeff Brown on saxophone, David Lee Shore on drums, Tony Galliani on bass, and I'm Robert Bradford on guitar.
Excellent. And I'll ask a few questions, and then we'll get into playing music. How long have you been playing together?
This iteration of the band, 3 years, give or take. And we've known each other. So my wife and I moved back to Carrboro from California 6 years ago. I was interested in forming a band. Tony is my neighbor. He has one of the easiest commutes, even though he doesn't ever admit this, for practice and playing at my house if anyone's 2 minutes away. Jeff is a Carrboro guy. He knows Tony well and has played with him for decades. David Lee Shore is also part of this trio, and they play in other bands as well. I would argue that my band is the most interesting for them. They rarely, if ever, agree with me on that, but it is true.
Listeners, they don't have mics in front of themselves, so I just get these sort of funny little laughs and looks. You'll hear them play music, but they're like, feel free to grab a mic if you want to sort of chime into any of these comments. But all right, so you've been playing together for 3 years, and everyone's local. Give a shout out to Carrboro.
Absolutely. Yeah, Dave lives in Durham, but he feels very comfortable in Carrboro, I think. I mean, it's a second home for him, I think. Yeah.
Well, so tell us about the kind of music you play, and then why don't we play a song, and then we'll chat a little bit more. So
how
do you define your music style?
So we're an instrumental band. That means we play songs without words for the most part, although some of them do have words. And I think we're influenced by a great musical tradition of soul, jazz, blues, and funk. And we put together, material that's both original and covers. But what we really try to do is make all the songs our own, whether we're doing our own stuff or a Stevie Wonder song, a Horace Silver song, a meter song. Our goal really is to create an identity and a vibe and a feel that harkens to our musical heroes, but still is our own vibe on that. I mean, my wife and I listened to Stevie Wonder this morning, who's one of my huge musical influences, and that the song from the album Songs in the Key of Life, it starts with Love's in Need of Love Today. Terrific song. So I turned the band onto that song. They're like, Robert, can we really play that song as a quartet? I said, I think we can. So we don't do Stevie Wonder's version of that song. We do our version of that song. But we're influenced by the genius of people like Stevie Wonder and our musical heroes. So that's
I know you said musical heroes, which I feel like is a setup to a question like, besides Stevie Wonder, who else is your musical heroes? I feel like you walked right into that one.
So Mayfly, Curtis Mayfield. I mean, I can't do justice to all of it. For me, it's Wes Montgomery, it's T-Bone Walker, it's the Meters, it's cities too. It's New Orleans, it's Chicago, it's Detroit, it's New York, it's L.A., it's Oakland. So there's a musical community across this country, and there are great music cities too, and we listen to folks who come from those musical traditions and through those and from those great music cities as well.
Well, and we were just talking right before we started about our own local community. I mean, look, we're a few doors down from Cat's Cradle. We were just talking about the musical scene growing in Pittsburgh. So how would you, all right, we'll say it sort of positively, but how would you rate the local area here in North Carolina on the musical scene? Or the musical tradition. You can either take it from the past or the present.
I mean, I think this area is a really interesting place musically. For music from Americana to indie, to blues, to jazz, and there are folks coming in from all over the country. So I'll give you a personal story. So there's a guy named Charlie Hunter, grew up in Berkeley, California, and went to Berkeley as an undergraduate. Terrific guitar player. Goes from Berkeley to New York. He thrives in New York for decades. He's now in Greensboro and plays in Carver every now and then. So this place, I think, is an interesting place that brings people from different backgrounds, different traditions, who all come together and share their musical perspectives. I mean, if you go around the table, Jeff is from Cape Elizabeth, Maine.
Mm.
David Lee Shore from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Tony from the Bronx.
Oh, that's where my parents are from, and I lived there for a little bit before I came down here. Go on. And you are?
I'm from Southern California. I was born in Hollywood and lived in Southern California. But if you talk to these guys, I want to talk for them. You know, they see people from all over the country, and they have common musical language and vocabulary, and then they also sort of share their unique perspectives to create different music. And I think this place has that vibe to it, and is an interesting place musically, certainly for me, and I think for the band members as well.
Well, great. And it's funny, I was just thinking, Tony, you have the mic closest to you, but what I'll let you do, and I just said, all right, I won't, if you want to say hi into it, maybe you'll play a song and then I can interview, unless I realize that the other two, David and Jeff, you don't have mics where you could talk into it. And Tony, the one person, I was like, oh, don't worry, I won't make you talk. You have the mic right near if you want to say hi.
Gee, thanks.
Well, why don't we, I'm already thinking of other questions I want to ask, but why don't we let you play a song? So cue us up. Tell us what we're going to hear.
We're going to do an original song called Another Day that I wrote several years ago, but it was cool. You know, you have an idea for a song in your head, and then you get around musicians and you say, this is kind of the feel for the song. And these cats contributed in really interesting ways to make this song, I think, a much better song than the song that I initially wrote. It's influenced by the great session guitar player, one of my other heroes, Cornell Dupree. So it's called Another Day.
All right. Well, let's listen to the Robert Bradford Quartet as, Robert, you grab a guitar. And they're getting set, and here we silence as they get going. All right. a band playing for just me. This is awesome. I will tell you, Robert Bradford Quartet, we are already hearing in from our listeners. I'm getting texts from those that have my private text line, which I will not put on the radio. The band sounds great. And for anyone who happens to be in the area around WCOM on our lovely station here in Carrboro, we just had someone come by and wave and they could hear it. So that was awesome. Thank you so much. And I will give myself a pat on the back because I figured out how to do the sound. So that way I was like, wow, we have a saxophone and a drum set right next to the mics, but we were able to get it just perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, this is our version of Tiny Desk in Carrboro, right? This is the new Tiny Desk concert for Carrboro, North Carolina.
I know. I don't know that reference, but I know that it's a show.
That's based in Washington, D.C., NPR. It's a terrific live music concert series.
I realized, Robert, I had to put your mic back up so they could hear you because I had lowered it when it was music. And I'm like, oh, wait, we need to be able to hear you better. All right. So questions. And you teed us up both because you said, I wrote this song, and then you played the wonderful song. Tell us about the process. What inspires you when you're writing music? How do you decide? I know nothing about this process of music making. I sing in the shower, so.
I try not to sing in the shower. But I have, so music is about being with your instrument, right? There's no question about that, and playing music is, but music happens in your head as well, right? So you're thinking about ideas. Sometimes a melody will come to you. Sometimes it's a chord progression. For me, that song starts with, I don't want to get too technical, with a D major seventh, which is a terrific chord. It's the beginning of Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, that's E major 7. But sometimes just a sound will influence you. But sometimes it's a progression. Sometimes it's a melody. Sometimes it's one little part. And then you build on that. Sometimes it comes together quickly. Sometimes it takes several weeks, months for it to come together. And then what I tell folks is that music is a conversation. And what I like about playing with these guys is they're always part of the conversation, right? So I'll come up with one idea. And they'll go, Robert, I don't know about that. But then we'll keep on going, and they'll have an addition to it, or they join the conversation both musically and creatively. And that's where I think the songs start in one place, and invariably they get better as we work on them. But it's not something that happens overnight either, right? It's sort of brews, right? It's like, you know, great New Orleans food. It takes time. It takes care. And so that's what I think we do with the original material. And it's great for me personally and to play with these guys to have these ideas in my head actually become real songs. And we play them out for folks. And they groove on them sometimes, and they don't know that it's one of our songs and not a cover song. So that's gratifying, I think.
Well, and that's, I have so many questions in my head about that. Like, so how do you know when a song is done? So you all, and I'll tell you the analogy that I was thinking about. I'll interrupt my own thought because you mentioned New Orleans, and I know you're a huge New Orleans fan, and I've been to your birthday parties, and so I'm thinking of a muffaletta sandwich where all these delicious flavors coming together. So that was just the analogy, right? I've partied with you all in the sense that I'm a little bit of your groupie, and so we got together. But I think of you as a big muffaletta sandwich, right? So you add something and everyone else adds flavor to it.
100%. I think you're spot on.
You're looking at me straight. I'm like, please help me out. Yeah. I think this is a good analogy.
I think you're absolutely spot on. It starts, you know, with the process of how does it win. To a degree, songs have beginnings and middles and ends, right? And they have verses and choruses and jazz terms, these guys are jazz guys. There are A parts, there are B parts, there are C parts sometimes. So there are all those things that create a structure of a song, but it's not perfect from the beginning, right? It's rarely what it is when it's gone through this process of playing together and thinking it through and having ideas and letting it stew in mm-hmm. our little heads.
Well, and I want to be able to ask whoever else wants to sort of talk. There's another, if you want to share any of your inspiration on it. But I'm thinking about a few different questions about, have you always written music? I mean, was this like a little kid thing and then it's just grown and grown? Or is this, I'm getting into some aging issues. I'm warning you now. This is, that's a setup question.
It's not right, Heather. I don't want to talk
about it.
This
is the Aging Well Together show.
These guys are older than I am. I tell them that all the time, and they always say, it's coming your way, Robert. It is coming your way. So music is, for me, it's listening first, right? It's that body of work that you listen to, and then you start to play. Do you start writing songs from the get-go? I didn't. Most folks I know don't write their own material from the get-go. Mm-hmm. But then at some point, you start thinking, well, I've got an idea of my own. Let's try and make that work and make it happen. And so I'm a writer, too. Often, when you start a writing project, it doesn't work out the way you want it to. And sometimes you just got to walk away and it didn't work out at all. Mm-hmm. The same thing about songwriting. The greatest songwriters in the world write terrific songs and write songs that they think are terrible and never get mm-hmm. out in the world. The greatest writers do the same thing. So, you know, I think the writing process can be inspired by one little idea, and then it grows from there. But like anything else that's challenging or difficult, sometimes the magic works and sometimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But you just got to keep going.
We had a show two or three shows ago. We had Carol Henderson on talking about writing towards resilience. And she was talking about the writing process and as writing being a therapeutic process for her, for folks going through sort of trauma and grief and loss and the experience. And to me, in my head, I'm starting to link back other guests about what we do in terms of finding joy and what we do in terms of finding comfort. And it sounds like for you, part of that is writing music.
Absolutely. I think writing music is in many ways easier than writing a great short story.
All right. Jeff is coming to the mic. Yeah, feel free to pick it up.
I just want to add another element of this band that I really appreciate is the space we have for improvisation. It's composition in the moment. I've been studying and working on composition since the early 80s, and it's a creative process. It's frustrating sometimes, but when it works, and with this group, when it works well, it's a great feeling, and I think the audience, our listeners, can identify with that.
Well, and I can identify with that. So, not a musician, but 30 some odd years ago, I was part of the founding of an improv comedy troupe, and so it did feel there. And I the tiny bit I know about jazz is there is so much improvisation, right? And so no show is the same. So I'm kind of curious, and I've been the beneficiary. I've been the audience. I've come to probably four or five of your shows, and it's always a little different because you have that improv. So it got me thinking, you also have recorded music. Like, how do you decide what goes into your recorded songs? Well, there's two questions. What goes into recorded versus improv? Like, how do you do that? And also, which do you enjoy better, playing live or having these recordings? Or anyway, there's a few songs in there. Whoever wants to grab a mic. And then we're going to get David Lee.
Hi. Well, on a recorded song, it's what it is at that moment. And so that's the cumulative effect of what you've played and figured out up to that moment. But songs continue to grow, and they have their own force, and they're trying to get somewhere. And the recorded version may be the version that you stick with. I mean, it's always basically the version, but there's so many flourishes, and there's so many places that you, even as you're playing, sometimes you think, oh, yeah, this would sound really good there.
Yeah.
And so it changes, it moves, and that's part of the fun process of it, is being able to continually add to it, continually change it, and it keeps it very dynamic. And to me, that's one of the funnest parts, figuring out what to do and then continuing to push it down the road.
Well, I just love it. And you add so many, music is fascinating because it adds so many emotions. There's the emotions of you as the performer, and then the emotions that it elicits for us as listeners, and depending on our mood coming into it. Right? It kind of changes. So if I'm in a sort of a chill mood, I'll be chill. Except for when you all are playing, I can't help but dance in my seat there. So there is a light to your music. It's sort of uplifting. Like, your the way that I hear it as an audience member, it's it's not somber. Like, you're picking us up. I always feel like my mood picks up when I'm listening to your music. So are you trying to make me happy or are you trying to make depressed? I'm trying to see what energy you want to give off to your folks.
It's about the groove. The music that we play is about the groove, and the groove does make you feel joyful, but it makes you dance. I mean, that's the music that we're playing now, soul, jazz, blues, funk. That groove is everything to the music, and that's what I think, if we're doing our jobs well, that's what you're feeling.
Well, you're doing it well.
Yeah, occasionally we do it well. Occasionally we do it well. But you talked about recorded versus live. The one thing I would add to what Dave said, which I think is spot on, is recording music is a difficult thing, right? If we're primarily live musicians, to go into a studio and put headphones on and get that emotion and that feel is a very difficult thing to do. I'm a student of American music and the great session players, whether it's Motown or New Orleans or Los Angeles or New York, they are masters at their craft, and mm-hmm. and what they do in a studio is when they do it right is a very difficult thing to do. So for us, it's a challenge. And you know, the record we did, how long was that ago? Maybe a year and a half, fellas, give or take. Mm-hmm. We did it in a day, and it wasn't an easy day, but mm-hmm. I was really happy with the end result. And as David points out, that becomes sort of the basis for when we go out live, how do we make it better? How do we make it mm-hmm. more interesting? How do we improve, right? That's the game, I think, for all of us, not just to do the same thing over and over, mm-hmm. but to make it more interesting and to have this conversation of music live to make the song come alive mm-hmm. even more for our audience.
All right, well, there's a bunch of other questions I want to pound you all with here, but what I'll let you do is I'll let you play another song, and then we're going to pick up on, I'll just warn you now, this live theme about playing live music and where you play around the area, but I also want to get back to this aging issue, because this is the Aging Well Together show, so you're not going to be able to avoid it for too long. So I'll let you tell us about the next song you're going to play. Cue it up, and then we'll chat more.
All right, sounds good. This is an original, RBQ original called Ain't That Funny. It was inspired by the great Texas blues guitar player Albert Collins, who had his own vibe and own sound and really was influential from my perspective. So this one's for Albert Collins.
There's always this moment when he's setting it up. I don't like quiet time on the air.
Count it.
clap. Alicia will be in soon, and one of the things we were going to get ourselves was a sound machine, like a and the crowd goes wild. You were talking about live music before, and there's and versus studio music, and part of the studio music is not just the musicians, but the sound engineer. So I'm telling you right now, I'm not a great sound engineer, and I've got only one dial to work with. So it'll be interesting when we listen to the recording. I know, because I'm moving them around, so that way hopefully it's a good sound. So I know we heard from one listener it was, but it'll be, in a sense, this is a studio. Like, you're doing a studio session right now because it's live, but we're recording it. So hopefully it'll be good. So in terms of your live performances, which is what you enjoy doing, where are you generally performing? Like, hey, this is a time, and you have some upcoming shows, I know. This is a time you could do a little bit of a shout-out.
We do. Tomorrow night we're at Havoc Brewing in Pittsburgh, 6 to 9 p.m. End of the month, I think it's January 28th, we're at Durnock Bar in Durham, which is a Sunday afternoon gig, 4 to 6. And we play throughout the Triangle area at a range of events, bars, restaurants, and any places that folks will have us.
Well, and I'm already hearing from one listener, someone's like, oh, I want them to play at my event or whatever. So I think you're going to get some requests from this one. I do want to talk. So you play music. Are you full-time musicians? Do you have day jobs? I'm kind of curious. Everyone just sort of looking at each other.
I'm retired from my day job, so it's a mixed bag, being the age I am, which I won't mention. But
you can mention, and I was going to encourage you all to do it. Is it okay?
All right, I'm 71, and I'm retired. I have much more practice time than I used to, which is great, but I don't have the stamina I used to have in my 20s and 30s. So I have to pace myself a little bit, but it's really a pleasure to be able to practice and concentrate on things without being in a rush.
Yeah, to get.
Like I used to be when I had a day job, so.
Okay. Well, and I'm so glad. And I was going to ask you all to share. There is, when we were so excited, when Robert and I were talking about using your theme music for the Aging Well Together, as I say, you are a well-seasoned and an experienced band, and I thought it fit well with this sort of theme and energy of Aging Well Together about sort of meaningful aging. So David Lee, tell us about your, if you wouldn't mind sharing your age, and then and bring the mic a little, or you can go a little closer to the mic, sorry.
I'm happy to share my age. I'm 72.
Nice.
And I'm retired as well, and I think calling myself a professional musician is a reach, so I call myself a semi-professional. I'm a sandlot musician. But It's all I do is just play music. I'm in a lot of bands, and I find it really gratifying to be able to do this full time now. I'd done that when I was young, and it was a hard life back then, and I ended up in school and, you know, had a whole career, but I always look forward to when I could just go back to playing music full time, but not depending on it as an income. So I'm having a really good time right now.
And I should have said, David just spoke. David plays drums. Jeff spoke before that. Jeff is on saxophone. Since we're a radio show, not a TV show, that's cool. I'm gonna turn it over to Tony. I know I keep picking on you because I said you wouldn't have to talk, and I keep asking you.
Yes, you do. let's see. Well, I'm not retired. I actually retired once, and I'm back. Duke lured me back, so I'm still working at Duke University. But I also do a lot of music as well. So it makes for very tiring days, but it's fun.
Feel free to share if you would like to share your age and or what you do at Duke.
I'm 71. I am the ADA Facilities Director for Duke, so I'm responsible for ADA access and compliance for the university, the three hospitals, and the health system clinics.
And I have a pretty good sense of what ADA stands for, but so we're not using acronyms. What does that stand
for? The American with Disabilities Act. So
interesting. That's what I thought. So I have to say, Tony, I think I'd love to have you on the show just talking about that, since as one of our topics about, sorry, I know you didn't want to, but I would love to talk about your work with ADA, especially with so many older adults start to have physical disabilities or cognitive disabilities, and how are, and you're with Duke University or Duke Health System?
Both. So we our department covers the health system and the university, all the remote clinics as well. So it's interesting. Deal a lot with parking, a lot of different issues. But we also, you know, review plans where we build buildings, and we also do a lot around athletic events. Duke does a lot of good stuff, so it's an interesting job.
Okay, you're so coming back on this show. Because we're going to have a whole... Remember, we're a
success.
Talk show. We're not. I know, right? We're not usually a music show, except for last show and this show with live music, but we're a talk show about issues around aging. Would love to have you come on.
Well, I should have made up a different job before.
You totally should have made up a different job. So that's fantastic. Thank you. Okay. And then Robert... I think you have a day job, considering you don't know this, but I referred that someone should talk to you today about your other work that you do.
Well, I am retired, but I have sort of a part-time day job with the Orange County Department on Aging. So I'm willing to talk about aging as well. I think what you're hearing from all of us, and I'm 63, is that music is, I think, the a great part of the aging process, whether you're a musician or whether you're a fan of music. I mean, I my background is in science writing and you know, basic research. And so the idea is neuroplasticity, right? Mm-hmm. Which is use it or lose it. And as we get older, better to use it than to lose it, right? So this idea of staying engaged and staying, you know, intellectually engaged and creatively engaged is an important part of the aging process. And as I play with these guys, who I kid are all older than I am, but Jeff is not necessarily totally accurate. He is super energetic and has tremendous stamina, I would argue.
He just must have had a ton more when he was in his 20s and 30s.
I didn't want to hang out with him when he was younger, because he'd be running away from us all. But all of these guys, you know, they're engaged creatively, they're interested in the endeavor, and I think it makes, I don't want to speak for everyone, makes for a more interesting life, right? Mm-hmm. And the other part is, I was thinking about this show, Heather, is this idea, if you're not a musician, right, music is part of our lives. For baby boomers, it's culturally a part of our life.
And those of us who identify as Gen X, right, and the oldest generation. Yes, go on, yes.
But I'm just saying, for 55 plus, let's talk about that context. It's culturally, it's creatively, it's part of our lives. And even if you're not a musician, the idea, again, of improvement, of learning about music. I talk with folks about the story of music. So, you know, you grow up in the 60s or the 70s, and you're... David Lee Shore is a Beatles person, but he knows tons about music. But the Beatles was one of his bands. Correct or not correct, Dave?
We're getting positive nodding.
The cool thing about, if you like the Beatles, is where did they come from, right? Mm-hmm. And I just saw this great documentary on Little Richard. There's a terrific interview with the Beatles, who love Little Richard. So if you're a Beatles person, follow that story. Go to Little Richard. Go to the Everly Brothers. Go to Chuck Berry. Go to, the list goes on and on. For people as they age, learn about music as one of the endeavors that will keep you interested in life. And I tell folks, follow the story of music. It's a terrific story to follow.
Well, and what's amazing, and you talked about, I don't know if I can say that, but was it neuroplasticity? What's going on in our brains? And since I'm in the aging space and do a lot with cognitive changes and dementia, it is amazing, as our brains change, the part of our brain, amygdala, hypothalamus, I should know it, that enjoys music and stays the longest. You know, it is, even, and I've seen this so many times firsthand, even when folks aren't as verbal as much, they can still sing. And that music all of a sudden opens up memories and enjoyment. And there's this, have you heard, what's it called, the reminiscence bump, or music that we really enjoyed between the ages of 15 and 25, or the music's that, it's our favorite music. And so they'll show folks that have had cognitive issues, they play music from that time period for them, and it just, you see it sort of light up those areas of the brain that are still really active. So music on so many levels, we just got all neurological on us really quickly, but it's also the international language, since I've done a lot with, you know, there's just so many wonderful things about music. I'm just rambling on here. And I love that you're able to sort of contribute to that, and that those of us who are appreciating. Anyway, so which would you like? Do you want to play another song, or do you want me to pepper you with more questions?
How much time do we have?
We've got about 10 minutes. 11 minutes.
Pepper a little bit more, then we'll play another song.
Okay, sounds good. So you talked about your work with... That's a really weird sound. There's interesting sounds going on that we are not creating here in the station. Oh, someone's alarm going off. So in terms of what inspires all of you and to play music, I'm curious about if any of you do anything in the education world and helping others... to, like, are you working with younger musicians? Are you working with students to help them find their space in the music place? That I didn't mean that to rhyme. Jeff just sort of looked at me. Well, because I'm still on this kick about how amazing music is, and sort of my mind's going in lots of different directions. Mm-hmm. And I realize as musicians and folks that have been around the block a little bit, how you're connecting with younger folks there.
I have given lessons to some high school students, try to share what I've learned from my teachers over the years, and it's challenging, but it can be gratifying as well.
Have you noticed a change? Robert, you started to mention this in the beginning about it used to be this is how music was. It was live music. There was a lot more. Have you noticed, you know, kids these days and everything is just on Spotify, or everyone's just listening to music individually as opposed to what used to be a more collective experience of listening to music together? Like, how have you noticed music and people appreciating, or, you know, however it's changed? Because y'all have been musicians for a long time, I'm assuming. Dave, they're all pointing to each other. Dave, it's all you.
Well, one of the big differences I see is when we were younger, say, like, you know, heard the Beatles at 14, 15, and then started to work backwards from there, you know, into the great American musicians that, you know, some of them had some success in the 50s, but a lot didn't, and different genres like blues that didn't have big play necessarily on the radio at the time. It was a hunt. You had to find records and read the liner notes, and people would share information. You know, it was a joint effort.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And I still have my original albums.
Yeah, it was great, you know, and it was hard to do, and so it took a commitment, but the hunt was the fun part of it. And I imagine it still is, but everything's available. You can go on YouTube and call up Ray Charles playing in Rio de Janeiro, you know, in 1961 on TV. It's all just there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that, I mean, it's great in that you're exposed to it easily and readily, but, and I do replicate that kind of hunt on YouTube, but it's not the same as being with a group of your friends and the joy of discovery in the moment at that time. It was a big thing.
It's the two-edged sword. So, you know, what Dave talked about is accessibility, which is absolutely true. But with accessibility, there's also isolation. And I would not just say it's young folks. I would argue there are way too many folks walking around with headphones in their ears all the time.
I know.
And I don't know if they're listening to music in a serious way in the sort of community context. They could be. I'm not saying that that's necessarily bad, but I think music is about community, and it's about, you know, live music is an important part of how music is expressed. What we find, I think, is... So we play older music, right? But there are younger folks in the audience. I've seen your daughters in the audience.
I know. We love listening.
They may not know the tunes that we play, but again, if we do our jobs well, if we connect with the audience, they'll connect with us, and they may learn something about a musical form they didn't know that much about. So when you talk about education, what we're all trying to do is share what we love about music. And I'm willing to talk to folks, too, about, you know, that story and the importance of jazz, or the importance of soul music, or the importance of blues, or the importance of funk to all kinds of musical forms, whether it's hip-hop or country music, for that matter. They all come together in interesting ways. So I talk with people about that all the time, and I think, again, whether you're 13 or 83, you should be in tune with the connections between different musical forms, and it should be part of your interest or goal to make those connections, mm-hmm. and to learn a little bit more, just to get a better sense of where the music that you like comes from. Mm-hmm. That journey is an interesting and valuable journey, I would argue.
Well, I love that, and I loved your phrase. What was it? Music, music is a community, or music brings together community. I could say it in lots of different ways, but
it's all of those things, right?
Yeah, that's why I was like, wait, that all makes sense. Music brings us together, and I know I'm going to let you play, or I'd love to hear you play one last song, and tell us about this song as we come together as a community and share your music with our community here on Aging Well Together.
Well, I guess we would have to end, Heather, with Mayfly. We'll play the whole song and see how that goes. It's a song I wrote in tribute to the great Curtis Mayfield, who was a huge influence for me. So
I love it.
We'll
thank
give it a go.
You.
You can talk while I turn on my amp.
All right, I'll talk. And the mics have been moved around, so I have no idea where they should be from a sound engineering perspective, but we'll keep playing with them. But it's so Pavlovian now, the song, to me. When I hear the song, I'm like, oh, I'm ready to go on the microphone now.
All right, listo, fellas?
cannot thank you, Robert Bradford Quartet. Thank you to Robert Bradford, to Tony Galliani, to David Shore, to Jeff Brown. I hope I said that all right. You all are amazing. I cannot thank you enough for coming on to the Aging Well Together show. Any last words, Robert?
We really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure. It's great to be on the show with you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Thank
you all. And this cracks me up, but I get to play you out listening to your own music. Thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for joining us. Talk to you next week. ¶¶